This is Startup Week in Seattle. 7 days of events, meetups, seminars, and good old-fashioned networking for those who work in Seattle's startup community. And that got us thinking, how's Seattle doing as a startup city? Last year, a global survey ranked Seattle as the fourth best city in the world for tech startups, behind Silicon Valley, Tel Aviv, and Los Angeles. Well, that may seem like a good spot in the ranking. Some people involved in the startup scene think we can do better. Chris DeVore is one of them. He's general partner at Founders Co-op, a company that provides startups with seed money.
The Pacific Northwest, because of the University of Washington, because of Microsoft, because of Amazon, has an incredible pool of high-performing, what I call digital creatives, software developers and designers. The reason why Twitter and Facebook and Google have big offices up here now is because they want access to that talent. So we're doing great for talent. Where we fall down in that survey was around entrepreneurial support. So how many new companies get formed? How easy a time do they have raising money? Because we've got great raw material up here. We punch below our weight on turning that talent into high-performing companies.
The hard truth, you said, is that the Pacific Northwest is still 20 to 30 years away from having the kind of down-to-the-roots innovation culture that the Bay Area enjoys today.
A lot of what it takes to build an entrepreneurial culture is successive generations of entrepreneurial success, producing both wealth and a talent pool that goes back and does it again. The Bay Area has had the longest run of any major ecosystem in the country, back to the 1930s and Fairchild Semiconductor, and they had a research university that had great leadership that was focused on entrepreneurship. So they're on their like 10th or 12th generation of technology innovation, wealth creation, and redeployment of talent capital. Seattle, we're really kind of on V2. Boeing kind of gets credit for the beginning, but Boeing is really about aerospace, which is a different vector. Microsoft is the first modern software company that achieved real scale here, and now it's Amazon. And there's other stuff besides. We just haven't had the turns of the wheel up here for it to be fundamental to the culture.
Just actual time.
Yeah, just elapsed time. Honestly, that's what it takes. I think if you look now, Zillow had a great IPO last year. Tableau had a great IPO this year. Zulily just filed and looks like another great company. So our on-deck circle of really strong young companies that are coming up and driving all the way through to where there are hundreds of employees and have created tens or hundreds of millions of dollars of wealth, all that recycles back. Those people want to go back to another startup. The founders redeploy their money as angel investors in starting new things. The more you do that, the more diversity or speciation you get in the ecosystem. We just don't have that depth of capacity yet.
Is that you, by the way? Chris DeVore, are you one of those founders that then recycles the money back?
The thing about entrepreneurs, and this is sort of one of the dirty little secrets of the industry, is it's very addicting. The culture is a very optimistic, positive, creative culture. And once you step off the professional employment track and do something entrepreneurial, you almost never go back. Win, lose, or draw, you almost never go back.
What is a thriving tech startup do for the Seattle economy?
The world, it's a global economy. So talent and capital flow freely to different geographies based on where they see opportunity. So if you're in India or China or Des Moines and I want to go somewhere exciting where I have career opportunities and I can build a family and have a life, the winning metropolitan areas are the ones that are going to assert this is a place where the most amazing people in the world should come to make their companies, to make their lives, to make their fortunes if that's how they're wired. Seattle has had a bunch of incredible successes along those lines, back to Boeing and Nordstrom and Starbucks and Amazon and Microsoft. But each company has a life cycle. If we don't keep creating an environment where those kinds of people want to come to build those kinds of companies, they will go somewhere else. We're not entitled to this. So as an ecosystem, we need to create a culture and a community and an environment where people want to come to build companies and their lives. When we do that, the people who come attract other exceptional people and attract capital and build big companies, ultimately become the employment base and the tax base, and frankly, the cultural foundation in terms of people who are hungry to innovate and change the world and have impact in the world. That is the foundational kind of cultural vibe that you need to make a city functional going forward. Anytime you rest on your laurels, if you're a Detroit, you own the auto industry in the 1950s, and today you're bankrupt and desolate. You have to keep reinventing yourself around where the world is going to retain talent and economics and the future potential.
You have said, though, that Amazon, Microsoft, maybe not throwing off entrepreneurs because they suck in creative people.
Is that true?
Well,
I guess I think that there was an article written the other week that they used what I would call a link-baity headline that got readership. If you read the meat of the article, Taylor Soper wrote a GeekWire. It was a very thoughtful piece about, when professionals have choices in their careers and there's very powerful platforms for career progression and wealth creation that they can join, versus starting a startup. You know, when Microsoft was growing, Microsoft created more wealth as one company than I think almost any other company in the history of tech. Amazon has had a similar run. It's a rational choice for people to say, geez, there's so much growth. There's so much opportunity in this. I should join now and I'll do my startup in 5 years. But as each of those companies plateaus, and I think Microsoft clearly has plateaued, Amazon seems like it has some growth in it. But from a market cap standpoint, how many more multiples of its current value can it achieve in the market? That's when you begin to see entrepreneurs saying, you know what, I learned a ton working for Jeff Bezos, great culture, but for my desire for autonomy and for wealth creation, I got to go do my own thing.
Apparently, as long as you don't get yelled at by him. That's what I read in the paper. All right, so Mayor McGinnis talked about this. He started this initiative, Startup Seattle. You've worked on part of it. People said there are five things that need to happen. Maybe education, establishment of a private university, perhaps, that's focused on tech things, taxes. People want to talk about taxes. Innovation hubs and density. You could do one thing.
Right.
What's the next big thing that needs to be done to create this innovation culture and keep it moving forward?
You know, if it's the city all by itself, I think, frankly, the most powerful levers the city has are really about what I would call placemaking. And that includes transit, zoning, and being thoughtful about neighborhood development. Because innovation happens in clusters. It happens in density where you have interchange between human beings with creative energy, but from different domains. Frankly, I think one of the most exciting opportunities for the city in the next 20 years to create another innovation center wraps around the University of Washington. So the neighborhood we're sitting in right now, you know, the university is a jewel in terms of attracting talent and energizing people to make. But historically, the University of Washington, the neighborhood around it, hasn't had a lot of density of commercial innovation residents.
You're talking about physical space.
Physical space.
That the people are going to come and be innovators because they can walk, bike, or easily transit to their mountains and their lake.
Absolutely. Have you been to South Lake Union recently? I mean, and you're a Seattle guy. I mean, you know what it was and what it is now. The transformation of South Lake Union took, again, we had the good fortune, if you want to look at it that way, of having one owner, Paul Allen, who stitched it all together and tried to give us a park. And we said, no, I'm still questioning that decision. But it is what it is. And then he engaged with the city to say, I want to do something for the city of Seattle. What about a biotech park? Turns out biotech wasn't what really stuck. Amazon is the tenant. But the vision to say urban density and creating space for makers of technology and makers of business is how you invigorate the city and create jobs, which ultimately creates all of the effects of, you know, people who want to go to restaurants, they want to shop in stores, they have to live somewhere and they have to work somewhere and they have to have enough money in their pockets to do stuff. Doing that in the center of a city is magical versus doing it out in Redmond, which was great for Redmond, but it really didn't create the agglomeration of or the potential for diversity of interest that you get in South Lake Union today.
Chris DeVore, thank you.
Thank you for having me.